Well, I think it's two things. First, work-life balance, which we've just talked about. Mm-hmm. And second, make sure that you're financially covered just in case this happens to you. Things like life insurance, things like income protection, things like critical illness policies are absolutely crucial. And lots of people don't bother with them because they don't think they'll need them. Well, that's what I thought. I did have a critical illness policy, but I didn't have some of the other stuff. And it made a difference.
You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, today I am joined by Martin, the Warrior Warrido, and we are going to be talking about his journey, about his life, and about an incident that happened 7 years ago in 2013, which changed his life completely, and how you can stop yourself making that same mistake, but also how you can help yourself, your business, and your community from this day on. So, Martin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Gary. Thank you.
Good. So, for the people who don't know your story and your background, tell us what happened in 2013.
Well, I was a journalist for all of my working life, starting in 1986 and going through to 2013. Up until 2009, I was working for newspapers in the West Midlands. At the end of 2009, I was made redundant as a result of a major cost-cutting exercise at the newspaper I worked for. And I chose to go freelance because I thought, being a freelance journalist can't be that difficult because there's lots of people out there being freelance journalists that I know. So I went freelance. I got myself a job as editor of a magazine. And I was doing that on a series of one-year contracts. And I did that until 2013. And then in December 2013, on the 1st of December, the people I was working for rang me up one Sunday night and told me that they were terminating my contract and they weren't going to give me another one, even though I'd pitched for another year in 2014. That obviously came as a pretty devastating blow because I just hadn't been expecting it. I'd made a big mistake that all freelancers make, whatever they do. I'd relied on my one big contract and I'd assumed that they needed me more than I needed them, which obviously turned out not to be true. So for the next 2 weeks after they told me that news, and they told me that news, by the way, in a two-minute phone call, at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night, which was a fairly devastating way to do it. And
I was going
to
say, that's not really HR compliant, is it?
Well, I didn't know at the time, but I now know that it was probably highly unethical and it may very well have been illegal, but I didn't know that at the time and they didn't care. No. So, as I said, for the next 2 weeks, I panicked because, this was a month before Christmas. We'd got bills to pay. We'd got Christmas to go through. We'd got a mortgage to pay. And I was struggling. Obviously, I was struggling to think of alternatives. So for the next 2 weeks, I was doing ridiculous amounts of networking meetings trying to get work and finding that I was getting absolutely nothing from anywhere, even though I was doing 5 meetings a week and spending money I hadn't got, traveling to meetings and getting into meetings looking for work. And then on the morning of Monday, December the 16th, 2013, I travelled into Birmingham from my home in Tamworth to go to a meeting with someone who I was talking to about editing a business magazine. And I spent the morning in a meeting with him. And I came away from that meeting at lunchtime. And we'd almost got a deal done, although it wasn't totally there. I travelled back to Tamworth on the train and I got back to Tamworth at about 3:10 in the afternoon. And I live about 10 minutes walk from Tamworth railway station. And halfway along that walk, I have to cross a fairly busy road, one where all the taxis and all the buses congregate in Tamworth town centre. And I got to this road, got ready to cross the road, and took two steps into the road, having looked left and right to make sure that the traffic was clear. Mm-hmm. And as I took my first step into the road, my legs gave way from underneath me, and I collapsed into the road. I collapsed into the road, and then I suddenly realised that I'd got a monumentally blinding headache. I've described its sense as like having an atom bomb go off in my head. What actually had happened was I'd had an artery burst in my brain, in an area of the brain called the cerebellum at the back. And the horrendous headache was the sound of blood getting into parts of the brain where it's not actually supposed to be. And that was why I was paralyzed. And that was the monumental headache. Mm-hmm. So I was lying in the middle of the road, completely paralyzed down to one side because of the blood getting into the parts of the brain where it shouldn't. And as I was lying in the middle of the road, I realized that there was a bus that had just pulled out of a bus stop just down the road from me. And the bus was getting closer and closer. And the bus driver couldn't see me because I was lying in the road and he was concentrating on the traffic and so on. Mm-hmm. And that bus, I vividly remember lying under the wheel arch of that bus as it came up to me. And I was thoroughly convinced that that bus was going to crush me. Obviously it didn't because I'm still here. But I can vividly remember lying under the wheel arch of that bus. When the bus had gone, with the driver obviously completely oblivious of what had just happened, I crawled across the road and clung to a lamppost on the other side of the road. And someone saw me, pulled me into a shop, called 999. Paramedic turned up within a couple of minutes, and paramedic did some tests on me. And he said to me, "I think you've had a stroke, you need to be in hospital." And my first thought was, well, I'm 49, I'm reasonably fit 49-year-olds do not get strokes. Strokes only happen to geriatric 80-year-olds. There's no possible way I can have had a stroke. Mm-hmm. But they blue-lighted me off to my local hospital. They did some more tests, they did brain scans, and then they said to me, "You've definitely had a stroke. You're not going anywhere until we know why it's happened and what's happened." So I ended up spending that Christmas in my local hospital. I was in hospital for 4 weeks.
But to be fair, you're lucky not to be somewhere worse. That is, it's only when you kind of hear stories like this, you kind of think to yourself, well, I'm 35. No, I'm not. I'm not even 35. I'm 37. What am I talking about? And, you know, this could happen to anyone. You're 49. But actually, is age relevant in this kind of story?
No, it's not at all relevant because I know people in their 20s, 30s, 40s that have had strokes. Mm-hmm. I know someone who lost their 3-year-old son to a stroke. And one of my best friends in the stroke community now, she was 13 when she had a stroke, which was caused by too many of these high energy drinks.
I'm glad you said about that because you said leading up to that you're working ridiculously long hours. You know, your stress levels was through the roof, and that's what you typically associate with people kind of on the edge of having a stroke or having health issues. But energy drinks, I'm guessing it's the same response in the body. Am I right in thinking that?
Well, the thing with high energy drinks is that they're packed with ludicrous amounts of caffeine, and that does horrible things to your A, to your heart rate, and B, to your blood pressure. And you get to a point where your heart just can't deal with it anymore, and your blood pressure can't deal with it anymore. I mean, when I was in hospital, all that they did was put me in a side room for 4 weeks, and take my blood pressure 4 times a day. And I assume that's because my blood pressure was through the roof. I've never actually been told what my blood pressure was when I had the stroke. But I have heard from people who have had strokes and survived them who say that their blood pressure at the time that they had the stroke was somewhere in the 220s. And your normal blood pressure should be around about 170. So 220 is completely ridiculous.
Leading up to the day when it happened, did you have any kind of symptoms leading up to it, or did it just literally come on just like that?
Absolutely none whatsoever. The only thing that might have been a warning was that on the Friday afternoon before the stroke, I suddenly began to feel ridiculously tired at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had to go to bed for about 7-8 hours. Now, that may have been a function of the stress I'd been putting on myself over the last fortnight, chasing around everywhere, trying to get to meetings and do work. But that may have also been a warning. But other than that, I had no warnings whatsoever. As I said, when I looked to cross the road, I was perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. And 2 seconds later, I was paralysed down to one side and my life had been changed irreparably.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And you said you spent 4 weeks in hospital. Then what happened? How did your life change after that?
I spent 4 weeks in hospital. For the first 2 of those weeks, I was completely paralysed down the one side, down my left-hand side, as a result of the brain damage. Eventually, that did go away. The paralysis did go away. But that was as the result of very intensive physiotherapy when I was in the hospital, and very intensive physiotherapy for 6 weeks when I came home. I've not been able to work since then, because my doctor said to me that I wouldn't be able to work ever because of the brain damage that I've got and the other issues that come with it, like the cognitive issues. I suffer with severe memory loss. I suffer with really bad fatigue. I have anger issues. I have mood swings. And my doctor just said that there's no point in even considering you going back to work because you just won't be able to cope with an ordinary 8-hour day. So let's retire you instantly. And I had to take my company pension, and taking your company pension when you're 51, as I had to, is not the best thing to do with the company pension. That's not what they're designed for. Unfortunately, I had no choice. I was in a wheelchair for 4 months. I was housebound for 8 months. I started to get back to some sort of normality in the autumn of 2014. And that was at the point where I was able to walk on crutches for a while. Eventually, I managed to throw away the crutches. But being told that I wasn't going to be able to work again, I'd always been a very active person, a very conscientious person, a very sort of person who wanted to be doing things. And I thought, well, I've got two choices. I can either sit and look at the walls for the rest of my life, which just isn't me, or I can do something. So I started to think about ways in which I could raise awareness of stroke, tell people about the dangers, tell people about the risks, tell people about what happens when you actually have a stroke. And that led to me starting a blog in 2015, and later led to me starting a podcast in 2018, where I talk about stroke awareness and the dangers of stress and the need to reduce stress, to have a proper work-life balance so that work stress doesn't overwhelm you in the way that it overwhelmed me.
So that's where the Warrior was born?
The Warrior was actually born out of a corruption of my surname, Warrilow. It was someone who was struggling to pronounce Warrilow correctly. Okay. And they started calling me the Warrior because it was easier than Warrilow. And someone then said to me, well, the Warrior actually fits in terms of what you're doing. You've survived this monumental thing that should have killed you. Why not stick with the Warrior as the name? So my website became askthewarrior.com. The podcast is The Warrior Podcast. And I'm, in certain ways, there are more people now who know me as The Warrior than who know me as Martin Murray.
Well, do you know what? It's so funny, because before I asked that question, I didn't realise it was because of that. You called yourself that. I just, It was, for me, because of your tenacity, your kind of passion, the way that you overcome that obstacle, that makes you a warrior in my mind. You've got that warrior mindset. You've got the warrior mentality to overcome it and to make yourself better from that. So freeing to hear that. It is in a good way, in a really good way.
You have to have that mindset to not recover from a stroke, because you never recover from a stroke. But in your rehabilitation after a stroke, mindset is absolutely crucial. And a positive mindset, a mindset that says, I am going to do this, I can carry on with life, I'm not going to let this thing beat me, is absolutely crucial.
I love it. No, I can't agree enough. Now, I was at a networking meeting a couple of weeks ago where you were talking. You gave a couple of really good stories that highlighted some really great examples of how people have overcome having a stroke and then slowly improved their lives. Not improved, but adapted their lives to having a stroke. Would you mind just sharing maybe one or two of them now? Just so people can see that there is a kind of different side to it.
Well, I know one lady called Kate Allott who had what's called locked-in syndrome, where you can quite literally just, you know, wiggle a finger or move a toe or something like that as a result of her stroke. And, you know, the doctors told her, as doctors are tend to do, that if she survived this, she was going to be pretty much a vegetable for the rest of her life. She is now one of the leading stroke research people in the country. She has a lot to do with academic research into stroke. She's written books about it. She's appeared on all sorts of media about it. And if you Google Dr. Kate Allott, because she's now a doctor of medicine, you'll find the story of a quite remarkable lady. And as I said, the doctors told her that she wasn't going to survive. That's one of them.
Love it. And there's going to be loads more that you've... your podcast is talking to people who have had strokes, if I remember rightly. And if you started in 2018, you must have loads of episodes available for people to listen to.
We've done an episode once a month since May 2018. I decided that I was never going to do an episode once a week or anything like that, because, you know, given my brain damage, given my physical fatigue as a result of the stroke, trying to do an episode once a week would just be, you know, stupid. So it's an episode once a month. So we've been doing it like 2.5 years now. So we've probably got something like 30 episodes. And we talk to stroke survivors. We talk to medical professionals. We talk to people who stroke survivors, health professionals, medical professionals, and people who have stories to tell about stroke, you know, people who have had stroke survivors in their family or close friends who have had strokes. So it's anything to do with raising awareness of stroke, because stroke is one of those things that people don't ever want to think about until it happens to them. You know, things like cancer, people talk about, but because it's not so prevalent in our society, but it's a very common thing in our society. But despite the fact that there are 100,000 strokes a year in this country, and that figure is going up, people don't think about stroke unless it's happened to them or someone in their family or a close personal friend.
It's scary, especially as if you think back to yours or listeners think back to yours. You felt okay beforehand. It was when it started. There was no kind of lead up to it. Based on kind of your experience about talking to people and your personal experiences, can you kind of spot warning signs in people that you meet that could make you think, do you know what, actually you need to slow down?
I think you can tell when people are overly stressed, and obviously if you're overly stressed, you are a prime candidate for a stroke. But in my experience, people who are overly stressed are very good at denying that they're overly stressed. Yeah. That, you know, they're the kind of people who will say, no, I'm not stressed. I can cope with these 14-hour days. I can cope with these 70-hour weeks. I can cope with the pressure of running my business. I can cope with the pressure of rubbish management, making life hell for me at work. And that's all very well until suddenly one day you can't.
Mm.
True. Very true. So how can people get a more balanced life?
I think, well, the best thing I can, the best way I can put it is to say that I wrote a blog for someone once that was called Knowing When to Turn That Laptop Off.
Okay.
And it's all about setting barriers around your day. Like, if you work at home, don't be writing emails at 11 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, don't be writing project stuff at 7 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night. Now, turn the phone off at a certain time of the day. Just be sensible about things. And if you're employed and you've got managers ringing you up at the weekend or at stupid times of the day and night, then just tell them to go away. I know someone who was an assistant head in a 1200 school prime 1200 pupil a senior school. And he had a stroke, which was even more terrifying than mine. And he had managers ringing him up when he was on holiday, demanding that he do certain things. And it got to the stage where he turned his phone off, and he said, "I'm not talking to these people anymore. They're making life hell for me." And that can so easily happen if you let it. And people sometimes aren't willing to say that, because they think they're doing the wrong thing. They're trying to please people. Well, pleasing people is all very well until it very nearly kills you, like it did me.
Yeah, and that's a scary thing. I think we've all been in that position where for a period of time we've been working, you know, ridiculous hours. It could be on a project. It could be because of circumstances or the environment. And for me anyway, there was an inner voice when I was doing it saying, Gary, you shouldn't have to do this. You shouldn't have to take phone calls on your day off. You shouldn't have to go in, you know, and do little bits. But as you said, the people who are probably listening to this and thinking that, they will deny it and they will say to themselves and say outwardly, you know what, I'm okay. I can cope with it. I can do that. But I think I'm hoping that after hearing your story and hearing some of the examples that you've given, they'll just think, actually, it's not right. That's my hope for this interview.
And that's why I do what I do, because the more people when I talk about this at networking meetings, I always say that I scare people, and I scare people because that's the only way you can make them listen and make them realise that this stuff can happen to them. You know, once again, I was 49. I wasn't 80. I wasn't smoking 80 cigarettes a day. I wasn't drinking too much. I was reasonably healthy as far as I know. And then suddenly my life changed.
It can happen to anyone at any time. It can. It's a scary proposition, but people need to be aware that this stuff does happen. And if they push themselves too hard, I don't want to say it's going to happen to them, but they're increasing their chances. And personally, I don't want to increase my chances.
I call it the life-changing event that will always happen to somebody else. Until it happens to you.
So true. Do you know what? We're coming to the end of this interview now, but I will get you on the show again if you don't mind, because I do want to catch up with you again for a little bit longer. But
I can talk for a minute about this stuff, Gary.
I know. And that's why I'm thinking a longer show, just delving into it, would be good. And maybe get a couple more people into the call as well, into a different format. But for the people who are listening today, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for coming onto the show. I've been wanting to talk to you and have you on the podcast for, must be a good year or two now. I think we first started talking about it. So thank you so much for coming on. Before we go, and before you should tell us where you can find more information about your podcast, your blog, website, all that stuff, if you're going to share one thing, your one final thought with the people who are listening to this podcast, what would it be?
Well, I think it's two things. First, work-life balance, which we've just talked about. And second, make sure that you're financially covered just in case this happens to you. Things like life insurance, things like income protection, things like critical illness policies are absolutely crucial. And lots of people don't bother with them because they don't think they'll need them. Well, that's what I thought. I did have a critical illness policy, but I didn't have some of the other stuff. And it made a difference.
Brilliant opposite. Now, we've already mentioned about your podcast. We've already mentioned about your website, but how can people find more information? Have you got a central place where it's all located?
Well, my website is askthewarrior.com. I have a Facebook group, which is called The Warrior. The podcast can be found at thewarriorpodcast.libsyn.com, which is as good a place as anywhere. I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm everywhere on social media.
Brilliant. And just for the people who are listening and watching, I'll put those all in the show notes as well. So you don't have to go searching for them. They'll all be in the notes section wherever you're watching or listening. Martin, it's been great. As I said, we wanted to talk to you for a good couple of years now. So thank you so much for that. And let's catch up again at some point where we can talk a bit more about detail and about kind of more examples. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, a real quick message before we leave the show. Just wanted to let you know that we have got a Facebook page called The Grow Show Podcast. So type that into Facebook, The Grow Show Podcast. This is where you'll find all the latest updates, news, events. Plus, also, this is where you'll be able to get on The Grow Show as well. Plus, listen to previous episodes. So hope you enjoy this podcast. If you do, please share it with peeps. But also, let's connect on Facebook under The Grow Show. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you next time.